God is good.
And his mercy.
Let's do that again. God is good. Amen. Dan will like that because I know he and Kathy are going to be listening to what was shared today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So I was just sharing with Janet that this word came to my heart probably about 6 weeks ago. So I've been praying about it, studying, adding, subtracting, adding more, taking away more. And as of last night, I was so excited that I felt my teaching was together and I was studied and I prayed, but there was something missing. And that really bothered me because I wanted to know that it was all together, but it wasn't. So I went to bed and then I was tempted to pick up care about it. So now I'm going to sleep. I did everything I knew to do. And this morning when I woke up, the missing piece came. So God had me sitting on the edge of my seat with this one. So let's pray. Father God, I ask that you touch each person this morning, Father God, with a word that they hear. Father, I pray that every scripture and truth that I share would land deep within them, that they would receive it and examine their hearts and look to you and believe for your grace to help them. Father God, I thank you that you are at work in each one of us and you desire to see us grow and go forward and do your good will in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture, first scripture I want to share is from Psalm 119, verse 2. Actually, I have two scriptures. These scriptures are about seeking God with all of your whole heart. Okay, Psalm 119, 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. And then Jeremiah 29:13 says, then with a deep longing, I love that, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity. You will require me as a vital necessity and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So when I originally was starting to get this word, I felt like, I don't know, it was like I kept thinking the title or the thought behind the whole message is, how well do you know your own heart? And that just kept going over and in my spirit. Like, I wonder at times, do we know our own hearts as well as we should? Now, in saying that, the more I thought about that, if we seek the Lord with our whole heart, we need to believe he sees things in us, correct? Does he? Does he see it all? Does he miss anything? So I think if he sees it all, then I want to see what he's seeing. And sometimes that can be hard, but I believe God wants us, as we seek him with our whole heart, he's going to begin to show us things, and maybe it's going to be things we don't necessarily desire to see, although he's showing that to us for a good reason. So I will be reading from the Passion Translation. I love this translation. Proverbs 4:23, if you would like to turn there. Proverbs 4:23, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. So if there's a wellspring within us and it's supposed to be flowing, why do we have to guard it? Because there's things that can hinder that wellspring of life flowing in the capacity that God desires for you. So we got to purpose ourselves to guard that. It's not just going to happen. I know Alan, where's Alan, taught on diligence yesterday. And I said, that's interesting, because with what I'm sharing today, this isn't going to just drop on you like ripe cherries off a tree. Okay, you saw it, it's going to happen. No, you got to dig in and believe that God is going to show you how to be diligent, how to be aware. He's going to, it's important that we maintain an awareness, and God's going to show you what you need to see. He's going to show you how to do action on what you see. He will show you how to take action. He will show you how to stand. He will show you how to move forward. He will show you how to live diligently, and he will show you how to remain steadfast. Now, in saying that, right after I received this word, it was the week of the Armada Convention. I went down in the yard with Elsa. I was walking around the yard, and I loved to walk around, listen to the waterfalls, listen to the birds, see the squirrels, watch Elsa chase the squirrels. And so I was walking around, and it was weird because I thought things were okay, and then I went in the house. The next morning I went out and thought, something sounds weird. And I couldn't put my finger on it. So I was kind of just walking around. And it wasn't what I heard. It was what I wasn't hearing. And I thought, it's my waterfall. My waterfall doesn't sound the same. Probably anybody wouldn't have been able to hear it, because to look at it, it looked fine. But I could tell. I used to drive Pastor Bill crazy, because in the house I'd say, you hear that? What? That sound the air conditioner's making. I don't hear it. I go, I hear it. Something's wrong. So this keenness to sound, so I'm like, what is that sound? It's what's not, I'm not hearing. And here I realized the one pump down at the shallow end, I knew what was going on. It was getting clogged up. Now, the story here I'm sharing, again, like I say, I like to share earthly stories that bring heavenly meaning. Many times within us, there's things we're not hearing anymore. Things don't seem the same, but we're not taking the time to figure out what's going on. So I knew what I had to do, and I couldn't do it with Elsa, because with Elsa, everything becomes an investigation. She had to be in the house, because I had to pull the net back, and she wants to make sure I'm not in danger. So the net goes back. I pull out the pump, and all this stuff was hanging on the pump that clogged it. Wasn't a whole lot, but it was enough that it was clogging that pump. It was clogging it enough that the waterfalls were not as loud and beautiful. The oxygen going in the water wasn't as great. All that could affect the fish. So in saying all that, it made me think, how many things in our life are we not being keen to in our spirits, like what we don't hear, what we're not doing, that it's just slipping by and you're not catching it. And God wants us to be ever so keen to that flow of that wellspring within you can be hindered and it can be subtled. And he wants us to be on top of things. Now, with that, distractions in this life, and we're all exposed to distractions, and that can hinder the flow of God moving in your life. Because if you start giving too much attention to the distractions that you're supposed to be dealing with the way God wants you to, they remain a distraction, and you will be hindered. It's like that pump starting to get clogged up. And in saying that, I'm going to read from Romans 12, 2, if you want to turn there. It's funny, when you say turn there, nothing happens because everybody's doing it on. Okay, Romans 12, 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you. Now think of empowering, that just as that waterfall, that flow of life in you. You need that empowering you. And it's going to help you, that it'll help you discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Now, the devil, we got to remember this. I'm not exalting the devil, but he's seeking how he can devour us. So we got to be on top of understanding what is it in ourselves. Back to the very beginning when I shared, do you know yourself well enough how God sees you? Do you know your heart as God sees your heart? Do you ask Him, Lord, show me what you're seeing and help me get through this. Remind me, because He knows you better than anyone. Now, the missing piece that I got this morning, I started to ponder something that happened in my backyard that just pulled this all together for me. There's a neighbor, and they have this little dog, and this little dog doesn't know it's a little dog. It's one of those little dogs, they're little snotty things, you know, they just, and this little dog doesn't realize Elsa could eat her up. But this is what I figured out, is little dogs don't really understand their little. What they see, they think they look like. So in her mind, you have a big dog, you get it. This little dog thinks she's a German Shepherd, probably, maybe, I don't know. But this little dog, they're not diligent to keep it on a leash. And that really irritates me, because it's a very dangerous thing. So my neighbor that lives next to me, she always says to me, Donna, Scott and I watch you all the time. We just are so amazed how you deal with Elsa. And in our conversation, she likes how I maintain that she's secured, she's corrected, and she's loved. She watches us. So the other day, I'm in my backyard with my German Shepherd, and Elsa has free rein of the whole yard. She's allowed to do whatever she wants. And in through my fence slips this little dog and comes running for Elsa. And she has actually ran up to Elsa in the past and growled at her. And I'm thinking, I can't believe this dog's doing this. So I'm standing there, and I can't get in fear. I knew immediately, I can't get in fear, because they say, German Shepherds especially, they can hear your heartbeat faster, they can smell your fear, and in her mind, there is a threat. So I couldn't do that. I had to be calm. In the meantime, this little dog's making her way towards Elsa. So the next thing I thought, what I could do is take a hold of Elsa and just hold her back. But I know you can't do that, because if you take a hold of a dog, a big dog especially, in a situation like that, you are triggering them that there is danger, and it's going to make things worse. So I had all this was going on while this little dog is going like this towards me. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden my good neighbor looked out and she saw the whole situation. She's like, oh my. So she went running to the neighbor that owns the dog and said, you need to get over here and get your dog out of their yard. And it was I just didn't know what to do. Now, the point I'm making with this story is I knew my dog well enough to know what triggers her, okay? I knew what she's capable of doing. I knew if I would have made a wrong move, that could have been a very bad situation. But you know what? She was inside of my yard. I would not have been legally, like how things can go with those type of things. But the point I want to make, we need to know within ourselves, again, back to how well do you know your own heart, that when you go through experiences in life, or you know yourself very well, there are certain things
that set you off, whether it be somebody that aggravates me, or, oh my gosh, I feel so afraid, or I'm tempted to be in care. You just know, you know, you know. And God knows what triggers us as individuals. He knows where we're still at. This is why it's so important that we seek God with our whole heart, that He can show us what He's seeing so that we can deal with things that we think are resolved, and they may not be, and they could cause you problems in your future. It's like you think about if you have a situation and you're tempted to be aggravated with someone, you know you're where you're at, they're ready to cross the boundary. If you are acknowledging that before the Lord, God is going to help you to grow in that. And we need to be touching base with God, like about ourselves. It's like, Lord, what is it I'm missing here? What is it that I'm not seeing? Help me that I can grow in this, that I can rise above this. And I know a thing that Pastor Bill used to have to talk to me about constantly. And it was like, I would walk in the room and he would go, what are you worrying about? And I'd go, what are you talking about? Because you're picking up care. I can see it. It's all over you. And he knew. He knew me so well that he could tell in my countenance. And he'd say, Donnie, you got to stop. You can't change this. Worrying's not going to help you. And you know what? How many of us know that? Worrying does not help anything, but are we still not tempted to do it? Right? We all have times where we could be tempted to worry about things. Now with him, I used to be able to tell, and it would make him laugh, and I go, I know this just bothered you because everything on your face changed, but nothing moved. And he'd go, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I said, I know. I told somebody else that, and they said they saw it too. So I used to kind of tease him about that because he did. I could see, yeah, you're right. That bothers me. Isn't that funny? But that was just, but anyway, in Proverbs 4, I'm going to get back there and read a note that I saw that I thought was very interesting, and it caused me to think more about this. Is it talks in here that the issues of life, the Hebrew yasa, is actually seasons, especially springtime. Out of your heart flow the seasons of life. It is our hearts, not our ages or circumstances, that shape the seasons of our life. I'm going to read that again. The Hebrew word is actually seasons. Out of your heart flow the seasons of life. It's our hearts, not our ages or circumstances, that shape seasons. So there's, in our life, we're going from one season to another. In a sense, some seasons last longer than others. Some are very short. Some seem like they're never going to end. And as individuals, again, back to the very beginning, how well do you know yourself? Like, I'm in a season right now where I got to take these shoes off. That's what I'm going to do here. Sorry. As far as losing Pastor Bill, it's a season. Although I don't know how long that season's going to last, but I'm learning that there are things I'm still walking through relative to the grief. And when you know, losing a spouse is so different, although losing anyone is painful. I always want to clarify that, but I know different things I'm learning. I'm learning different things. What sets me off or triggers, whatever word you want to use, sets you off, flips your switch. And then you're like, why am I feeling like this? I thought I was doing really well. So what I want to present to you, we all go through, it might not be grieving, but it could be a very bad season you went through in your life. You could have been little. It could have been something as a teenager. And you walk through it, and it hurt. Or it was a good thing. But just say it hurt, but you know enough, you had to forgive. Of course, we know where to forgive. If there's anything that happened in your past that hurt you badly, you need to forgive and forget it. Although sometimes it is hard. God heals those hurts. But those seasons can feed into your present if you haven't dealt with them properly. Okay? So if someone, just say as a teenager, you were going through a rough time of insecurity and somebody spoke something really harsh to you, and now it's happening today. It's somebody at church just said something mean. They were not nice. So you have a choice. Like, God wants to flow through you. He wants his springs to flow through you. He wants to flow through your total being. He wants to flow through your mind. He wants your thoughts. He wants your words. He wants your actions. He wants everything. But yet, if we do not have a handle on how we're walking through present, that are there past seasons that in our life that have affected us and we didn't even realize it. Hurtful things. And that's for each of us to, you know, I encourage you, pray about that. Think about it. Because I think things like that can be very painful. You know, you look back and you think, I'll never forget how that person hurt me. And you know in your heart you forgave them, although there was missed time with them. It wasn't what it could have been, okay? And that is a season in your life that God wants to heal. Now, I'm going to be obedient. I want everybody to bow their head, because I think this is a private thing, and nobody needs to see anybody. If any of you here, I'm just asking you, you know, you seek your heart, and if you feel there's something that you need to give to God, Father God, I pray that you would give each person here just insight into any season of their life that has hurt them, scarred them, made life painful in the present, that you would heal that and that you would continue to give them revelation in dealing with that. In Jesus' name, amen. And I pray that you take that to the Lord, you know, even though, you know, you can learn from this, and God can use that to help you minister to other people. So what season are you in right now? What season are you in right now? Do you know what season you're in right now? Do you know how God wants to use you now? Yes. Or are you in the season right now, but there's something hanging behind you, like tormenting you? That's where you need to deal with that, anything in the past. But as scripture is, the one scripture, and I think it's in Acts. I could be wrong. That he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Who knows where that's at? 5:8? No. Okay, he gives us. See, the thing is, when we get stuck in a place where you think, well, you don't understand what I went through, we can get, that's when a season has affected you and it's still affecting you. When you go to react to something, something sets you off, flips your switch, triggers you, name it, then you need to go to the Lord, because he's saying he gives you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. He gives you everything you need to get through it. So now I'm going to just share on what can block the flow. And I'm sure there's a lot of things I could name, but Proverbs 4:23 that I read at the beginning, it says, pay attention to the welfare of your being. Pay attention. You can't ignore it. You have to pay attention. And in saying that, when I was putting this together, there's a price tag attached to that paying attention. That price tag is you got to do something. You cannot say, oh, Lord, I see this, and then not deal with it. Lord, I see that I'm this way or that way. You need to acknowledge what you need to give attention to, and then you ask God for grace and wisdom and help to get you through the things that are a potential hindrance to the mighty flow of God flowing through your life. It is a very serious thing. Now, this is a time of the year where we have weeds, and I have this nice little garden in the front of the house, and I was so diligent with the weeds until this heat hit. And weeds are very much like problems. Well, there's this, those weeds that they bite you when you grab them. They sting, stinging nettle. They bite you and they hurt. Well, there's one growing right in the middle of my garden, and I don't feel like stepping over all my flowers. So I thought, I'm just not going to touch it. It's not hurting anything. It looks ugly, but there it is. Now there's two of them standing side by side. They look like, and they're ugly and they bite. So I got to get them out. But the things that we have to look at in our garden, what are the things, again, examine your heart, that you don't have a problem leaving go? And that's only we can ask ourselves that. What are the things that we excuse and we have no problem with it? That's dangerous. We don't ever want to excuse things that God wants to deal with us in our life. Lack of time in prayer and fellowship with God is very important to maintaining the flow and seeking God. I can't say that enough. You have to have that designated time that is yours with you and God and His Word. The worries and cares that I was bringing out about Pastor Bill, I love this in the Amplified, Mark 8, 4:18 and 19. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries and cares of the world, the distraction of this age with its worldly pleasures, its the deceitfulness, the false security of glamour, of wealth, fame, and the passionate desires for all the things that creep in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Yes. Those are the weeds that bite. They bite and they rob you, and you can't. I got to get out in my yard and get those weeds out of there. I'm going to do that. Since I'm sharing this, I'll be convicted now when I see that more. So, preoccupied, another one that I felt to share here, is with wanting everything to be perfect and comfortable around you. Pastor Bill used to talk about this a lot, that comfort zone. That's just human nature. It's just fun when everything's going fine. It's fun when everything's going your way. It feels better when everything's okay. And it's just not always that way. There is going to always be times where you're in a battle and you have to fight, and you got to fight to keep that pump free, that it's that water is flowing through your being, it's flowing through your mind, it's flowing through your words, it's flowing through your actions, that you immediately see and God's prompting you, stop thinking like that. You know this is going to get you in trouble, like with Elsa. Don't grab a hold of her. You're going to turn her into a weapon of mass destruction here right now. So don't do that. There's things in it. And that illustration with Elsa showed me, this is how good my Father knows me. He knows what could set me off. So there's times He's going to step back. And then there's times He's going to lovingly speak those words of grace in your ear, like, okay, this is what you need to do now. or this is what you don't do now. Because we can be so led by our own thoughts and opinions that can pull you and rip you right out of God's perfect will. So setbacks. Okay, so we go through this. Okay, I'm sorry, I have one more. Offense is a big one. Now, Proverbs 19:11, I'm going to, three hands here. An understanding person demonstrates patience, for mercy means holding your tongue. 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 It's a lot easier to let that tongue rip at times when you're mad about something, or you're upset, or someone just said something to you, and it just feels better when you say it. And then after you say it, you think, oh my gosh, I wish I would have held my tongue. But mercy means holding your tongue. When you are insulted, and we will be quick to forgive and forget it, for you are virtuous when you overlook an offense. Yes. When we pass over a transgression, it's a glory. That's how King James says. So what happens when these things happen to us? Our tongue gets us in trouble. Our thoughts get us in trouble. We forget to pull the weeds that bite or whatever. Joyce Meyer, I found something I thought it was interesting. She said, will we give up or will we get up and try again? When we go through setbacks, we can be tempted to give up on ourselves, and we cannot do that. Setbacks are a part of growing up, no matter how old you are. Pop, setbacks are part of growing up, no matter how old we are. And no matter how young we are, setbacks are part of growing up. And we keep learning, don't we, Pop? And I think the more you learn, the more you have to give, and the more you're obligated to give that wisdom to people around you. Don't feel like you're not relevant just because you're older. And that's what the world's trying to do to us in that group of, we're older. I am still relevant. You are still relevant. We are still, we're all relevant because we all have a place in this world, and God wants to flow through us no matter. But you never want to pamper things that are going wrong. You don't want to make excuses for yourself. You don't want to permit discouragement to get on you. That's another thing Pastor Bill used to share all the time. You know, you can't get discouraged. You got to keep running the race. Pradeep Pereira, I dug out some, I don't even know how I did, why I did this the other day, but I loved it. In June of 2017, he said from this pulpit, in our messes, God gives a message. Okay, so even in our messes that we may have created, God is ready to speak a message of wisdom and hope to you. He has a response for your mess. And he can speak into your heart that answer that you need. So we need to seek to maintain a steadfast spirit. But something that I want to share, setbacks and battles are two different things. And I learned when I walked through Pastor Bill being very sick, there were many battles. And I kind of felt like I learned more about battles, because you can interpret battles as a tiresome time, a time of all people were doing is seeing us fighting, but we were standing strong. Now, the last time I shared on Mother's Day, and I'm going to share this again because I felt like God showed me even greater, that being in a battle does not mean you're weak. A lot of times people look at people and they go, oh, they're in a battle again. Oh, my gosh. When are they going to get the victory? Don't ever do that. Because the thing that I felt like the Lord showed me, many times, I believe in a lot of times when someone's in a battle, that's when their spring of life is flowing like crazy in them. It is just a dynamic force. And we can't judge, just as somebody's in a battle, that they're not strong. They may be tired, but that doesn't mean they're ready to give up. And I think sometimes we can misjudge that. And I had shared Mother's Day, what I was going to say is, I can't even remember, but it was in a pretty rough time when Pastor Bill wasn't doing well. And I woke up one morning, I felt like I didn't even go to sleep. I sat on the side of my bed, and the Holy Spirit spoke, "You are battle tired, but not weary." And I thought, that doesn't make any sense, Lord. I mean, it just, I thought, what does that mean? So I thought, yeah, I do feel battle tired, but I thought tired and weary were kind of like, I'm just tired. How can I keep going like this? That was my, and God really helped me with that, because I backburnered that. And again, I'm sharing this again. Maybe there's some of you that didn't hear this. I was with my youngest son, and we were driving, and I said, Jesse was in Iraq and Afghanistan. He saw battle. He knew what it was like to be tired. He knew what it was like to have to press in. And I said, Jesse, I feel like I'm supposed to ask you this. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You're battle tired, but you're not weary. What does it mean? And he immediately, not even a second, he said, Mom, you're exhausted, but you're still on point. You're exhausted, but you know there is a mission to be completed. And that just was so liberating to me, just to know that if I were to go by how I felt, I wouldn't have saw it that way. I needed to be told, you're still on point, and you still see the mission. And a lot of times when we are so tired, and you're going through a battle, whether it be with difficult people, health, whatever, there's plenty of battles out there. There are opportunities. God sees battles as opportunities. I have a note here I want to read. I'm not sure. I'm forgetting why I wrote this, but I'm going to read it because I know it was important, or I wouldn't have. Psalm 119, 109. Yeah, this is good. Even though my life hangs in the balance, how many know what that feels like? You're kind of, I'll keep following what you have taught me no matter what. The ungodly have done their best to throw me off track, but I will not deviate from what you've told me to do. Everything you speak to me is a joyous treasure, filling my life with gladness. I have determined in my heart to obey whatever you say fully and forever. So that, I just thought was so powerful. So what does it look like when you're permitting God to move through you? Your life will be full, and you're going to be spilling out on people all around you. You're going to have, you know, you're going to recognize needs. God's going to use you. He wants to use you not only to make your life full, but to also impart God's life to people around you. Now, in closing, I felt like God put this on my heart to seal this, that we, again, need to be keen and aware what is throwing us off in our spiritual walk when that happens. And the devil wants to see us thrown off. He does. He wants to stop us. He wants to slow us up. So we need to be able to recognize, what is it that's throwing me off? Now, what was brought to my heart back in many years ago when we had our ministry school, Pastor Bill taught on the four effects of humility. I believe humility, when we're seeking God with our whole heart, we have to be humble before God. Humility is so important. So he taught there's four effects to humility, and I still, to this day, I love this. You receiving from God, God receiving from you, you receiving from others, and others receiving from you. God, the opposite of humility is what? Pride. God resists the proud. So you don't want to be at a place where you're going to God and you have opinions and God can't speak to you because you have all this pride. He wants to deal with our pride. Yes. And how we come to him, we can't come to him with pride in our hearts because he resists that. And it's going to hinder you from receiving from him if you're asking him, but you have this pride where, well, I think this is how it should be, Lord. That's pride. You stand before God and you're going to tell him how you think it should be. Now, as far as receiving from others, if you are a proud person, you're not going to receive. If you're a proud person, they're not going to receive from you because that haughty, prideful mouth is going to always have the answer to everybody's problems. That prideful, haughty heart doesn't even hear the person's problems. And they can't speak into that person's life. And that person that's trying to help that prideful person, they can't speak in because the prideful heart won't receive it. So it's a very dangerous thing. So I think in just the importance of humility, and I looked what Merriam-Webster defines humility as: freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. Psalm 25:9 said, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. James 4:6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, David, after he committed adultery, this was in Psalm 51:6 and 7, and I love the way this is worded. David said, I know you like to set truth deep in my spirit. So come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. Wash me in your love until I'm pure in heart. Satisfy me in the sweetness and song of joy will return. The place you've crushed within me will rejoice in your healing touch. Prideful people need to see, any of us can fall into that. That if you ask God to help, he wants to come in there and crush that pride, but he's going to come in there and restore you, that you can stand up and serve him with your whole heart, seek him with your whole heart. But always beware that pride could have any part in your heart, because it could happen to any one of us. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Help us to receive greater revelation of who you are, walking with a whole heart. Help us to guard our hearts, Father God, with all diligence. Help us to recognize those things within us that need to be dealt with. Help us to recognize those weeds that bite and help us to be determined to go after them, that those weeds do not choke out the word of God in our life. Help us to draw upon your grace upon every need in our life. Help us to continue to look at those seasons, Lord God. Help us to recognize any seasons in our life that might have been damaging and we just never realized it before, and today we put our finger on it. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your direction in everything, Lord, that you give us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we rejoice in that. In Jesus' name, amen.